morning, everyone. We welcome you all to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. This morning is Sunday, June 30th, 2019, and we are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America, and we are very grateful you could all join us. We also have new equipment that Jeremy has installed, so we trust that the reception is clear, no clicking, no whizzing, no buzzing. And if you should have any difficulties, please text Jeremy. Thank you. Okay, we will start with our morning prayer.
I'm reading from Miscellany, page 147. May this little sanctum be preserved sacred to the memory of his pure purpose and subserve it. Let the Bible and the Christian Science textbook preach the gospel which heals the sick and enlightens the people's sense of Christian Science. This ministry, reaching the physical, moral, and spiritual needs of humanity, will, in the name of Almighty God, speak the truth that today, as in olden time, is found able to heal both sin and disease. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Good one for today. Okay, Linda, the watching point this morning.
Watching point number 402. Watch that you realize that you have never been cut off from God and can never be. Cut flowers soon die, even though they may be preserved for a time in water. If we believe that we have been cut off from God and placed in the water of mortal mind, we will be dogged by the claims of limitation, finiteness, and death. The claim of personality that is used to frighten so many students is no more than the suggestion that man can be cut off from God and still live. Read Miscellaneous Writings, page 97, line 32. End quote.
Thank you. Any comments on that?
I looked up 97:31, and she said you don't dwell on personality. What you need to do is to make sure that you're looking at yourself as the image of our Maker.
Thank you. Yeah, when you think you're a mortal or personality, it does cut you off from God. You're an individuality. You're the image and likeness of God, which is never cut off. And this lesson certainly brings this out beautifully on Christian Science.
Well, I think as the plant looks to the light to grow, if we are cut off from the light, I guess we are drooping. Nothing.
Yes. Anyone else on that? Well, our golden text today. Carol, you want to read it?
And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good.
No, I've mentioned this before, but the first time I called a practitioner in this church, Mrs. Evans, it was just like a bright light shining on me. I went to that phone feeling depressed and sick and negative, and just the truth she spoke to me, it was like a huge searchlight almost. It was wonderful. I'd never felt it before. Never before. And I'd had other practitioners, but not like this. But it was her love of science, the total conviction that it healed, her understanding of it, and it just poured forth. Now, as you grow in science, what do they say? When a room is lighted, it takes more light to brighten that room. So, initially, you can come in with many wonderful healings and to feel that light, but as you grow, it takes more effort and work on your part. Keep that light burning. It doesn't just stay burning. You've got to work to keep it burning and to keep it glowing in you. So how do you do that?
Gratitude helps.
Number one.
Yeah, the light needs oil to keep burning. The oil of gladness, the oil of gratitude. These are all the ingredients that keep the light burning in your life.
The light is always shining. It's always there, just as we might not feel it or see it as a cloud drifts by, but that doesn't mean it stops shining. It's always there. But it's up to us to keep feeling that joy, that gratitude. So those are two essential ingredients to any healing, or what?
Gratitude.
And?
Gladness.
Yes, joy. Gratitude and joy. You're seeking a healing. You've got to express those first. And that's radiating that light. You've got to start being that light.
And not just say, well, what do I want? But God, what do you want?
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Not my will, but thy be done. And then also the outreach, the thinking of others, and not the selfishness. Selfishness is hell. And if all you want to do is think about your own life and your own, what's going to happen today to you, that is total hell. My definition of it, you've got to have outward thought. All those things make you receptive to this light that's shining. But you have to do your part. And the more you grow in this science, the demands become greater. And just because Mrs. Eddy says, you know, just because you meet what fearful odds, are those the words? And maybe you feel like you're making no progress. You should never become a sluggard in the race or go back to error. You keep working through those times. Because then what does she say? When the smoke of battle?
Yes.
Yes. What?
See the good you have done?
Good you have accomplished. Yes, and you will be rewarded accordingly. That's all paraphrased. But that's why the harder things get, the more we work. And we don't give up or think it's not working. The light is shining, and we get tested sometimes to the very end, but we keep going.
She says, the stronger should be our faith, and the purer our love.
Yes.
On page 149 of Miscellany, she also says that, remember, thou canst be brought into no condition, be it ever so severe, where love has not been before thee, and where its tender lesson is not awaiting thee. Therefore despair not, nor murmur, for that which seeketh to save, to heal and to deliver will guide thee if thou seekest this guidance.
Oh. Thank you.
Thank you. That's perfect.
Yes.
And this guidance that she just read is the light, isn't it?
Yes.
And it ends, if thou seekest, remember that. Because if you're seeking, if you're going to the peeps and wizards, and asking everyone else's advice and opinions and going everywhere else, well, then it's a state of constant confusion.
Or, otherwise, if you love the darkness that you're in.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. Anybody else on that? Thank you, Florence. It was just perfect. Well, I love, in a responsive reading, the sun shall no more be thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. So we don't have to be dependent on material circumstances for this light. Only from God. So things can be maybe swirling around you, but the light is from God, and you can always catch on to it, feel its radiance, its warmth, its love, and be blessed.
And this light of understanding, the light of truth, is not something that we see with our eyes. You know, we don't require the light of the sun or the moon to see it, to feel it. It comes to us through our spiritual sense. And that is why it is essential for us to cultivate our spiritual sense.
And I think this cultivation, I think, is where people, I used to sometimes want to bypass that and have the healing right now. I mean, without that cleaning of thought, you know, all letting go of all these pented up emotions and wrong thinking, how can we cultivate that spiritual sense in order for us to see this light?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the times that we kind of murmur, oh, I've been knowing that I'm spiritual for so long, but nothing is healing, going back, looking at the error again. So patience, obedience, humility, trusting, total faith in God.
Thank you. And you wrote on that in the forum. So that beautiful statement from Science and Health, the physical healing of Christian Science results, as in Jesus' time, from the operation of divine principle, before which sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness and disappear as naturally and as necessarily as darkness gives place to light and sin to reformation. I think that is so beautiful. And those two words, naturally and necessarily. Mm-hmm. If you're in a room and it's dark, if the light comes on, it's natural and it happens necessarily.
Does darkness fight the light?
No. Can the darkness do anything to oppose the light? No. Can anything stop that light from not shining? No.
Can an erroneous belief stop the truth? Well, no, unless you do the stopping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your own consciousness.
Do it right 99 out of 100 times, like what somebody said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what Jeremy wrote about a couple of weeks ago, this resistance. And what did you say resistance was?
Actually, I'm sorry, I gave you my...
I don't know why you did that.
I don't know. I didn't know how long I'd be upstairs, sorry. non-resistance was making no resistance to power. And... you know, just the realization that God is mind and everything that's real and true already exists. There's not this necessary, like, 100-year battle for me to attain something. It's already there. I just need to not resist it when it comes. And I like what Gary said about that. The light, you know, basically the light for the next step is coming through spiritual sense, not.
Yeah, because in thy light we shall see light. What does that mean?
Because it's God.
Thank you.
The truth about what really exists comes to us through inspiration, not through human observation. That is how Einstein discovered a whole new step in nuclear physics. It was through inspiration, not through observation or experimentation. That is why the schools poo-pooed him for many years, refused to give him a professorship, because it was contrary to their school of thinking. That is why Mrs. Eddy was so ridiculed and kicked out of so many churches, because the truth she brought was contrary to the old established ways of thinking. And of course, we know also that is why Jesus was crucified. Because the truth that he brought through inspiration was contrary to materialistic ways of thinking.
He knew of but one mind and made no claim to any other. He knew that the ego was mind instead of body, and that matter, sin, and evil were not mind. And his understanding of this divine science brought upon him the
anathemas
of the age. And that, I looked that up, it means excommunication with curses and to be shunned. And thank you very much. That's what we had. We were excommunicated, we were shunned, and we had curses. And isn't that a wonderful definition of church? Oh my goodness. You know, we had curses because we were, if anyone inquired about us, we were terrible renegades.
And probably still do. I mean,
and,
I'm sure.
And still do, which brings me to one other point. On our YouTube, we have been greatly blessed. Usually, if people comment, they're a good comment, or sometimes not. But more recently, there's been, you know, you scroll down and people write comments if you don't understand this. So, Unity of Good, which is very, very strong, isn't it? And yes. Gary's reading of There Is No Matter, there were two comments. One was, this is utter, and I won't say the words, BS, which I asked Gary to answer, which he very lovingly did. And then before that, when there was one that said, someone asking and groping for the truth, I don't understand this, well, there's no matter, what is Christian Science? And then the same person wrote that it was a wicked, vile fraud or something. So Gary will also answer that. But you all could be so helpful to us if in your listening you scroll down, and if you check any really negative comments like that, we can't just leave it. And then bring it to our attention, and we will answer it. I know many of you have asked what more you can do for this church. Well, that would be a great help, because we have thousands and thousands of videos out there, and we can't possibly be checking these all the time. But if there's some, I mean, those comments cannot be just left like that. They have to be answered. That person does not know what Christian Science is at all for him to make a comment like that. So that would be so helpful to us. But again, this is a radical science. People, you don't always get it right away. You've got to work at it and live it. But and let that light keep shining. Anybody else? I did want, Florence, was there anything more? You wrote a beautiful comment, blog, whatever, post.
On which one? I think I... the healing of... The physical healing? Oh, yeah, I just said that sometimes we are all mistaken, that the study and the constant knowing is so that we can change an imperfection to perfection. Well, more understanding of God and his all power shows us Christ Jesus proved that we are wrong. No amount of truth we come to know make us able to change the perfection of God's spiritual idea. Our perfection is the image and likeness of God, as the image and likeness of God is permanent. The reason why only the operation of divine principle acting constantly in our behalf is what does the healing, is that it alone has the light that can destroy the darkness of error in our thought. Our right work is to consistently know the truth, to keep our thinking clear, in alignment with truth, in order to give principle, life, truth, and love the necessary prominence in our consciousness. Then staying out of its way through humble obedience to God's allness, God with us, etc., we allow principle's operation to destroy the lies by lighting up every dark thought into oblivion, to stop tinkering with the physical evidence, reacting to it, justifying it, or fighting it, does much to keep thought calm for the receptivity of principle's healing light.
Thank you. Always remember that. You are not trying to change something. There's nothing to change. You're letting the light shine on the situation so you see what is already there. The big difference. Once you start thinking you're fighting something, trying to change something, you've created a reality of it. Jardy wrote about in the responsive reading, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
So, yes, and then the Gentiles, well, I went to the commentary, because first you have the returning Israelites, and the light shining for them. And then you have the Gentiles, and the Messiah is the telling of the Messiah. This is the light. And then the promise, this promise is for everyone who turns toward God and his begotten Son, Christ Jesus. And this is all just to the glory of God.
Thank you. Always a matter, just like the flower turns toward the sun. It's so sweet, isn't it? You know, you'll have a plant in your house, and you'll see it all leaning toward the window, facing the sun. We must, and we also, it's an awakening process. Awake, arise, rouse yourself. I have noticed with myself and in the practice, this negative, fearful state of thought is at one with what seems to be the physical manifestation, and they both have to be cleared away by this light.
And Peter wrote a song about that once called Turn to the Light.
Turn to the Light. So when you're in that negative, fearful state, you've got to make an effort to express, as we talked about earlier, gratitude, joy, even though you don't feel like it. Think of someone besides yourself. Otherwise, you're in, what is it, Pilgrim Progress, the Slough of Despair. No place that anyone wants to be, the Slough of Despair. Got to make that effort. Turn to the light. So, any other comments? Okay.
Can I interrupt a second?
Sure.
I definitely have been there and persevering and going towards the light and really working to, you know, get that divine consciousness as a part of my life. It makes all the struggle worthwhile because, you know, I'm not there yet, but it's worth the journey.
Thank you very much. It absolutely is. It's so much worth the journey. What else are you going to do? You going to just stay there in the Slough of Despair?
Right. The only other choice, and I have to be honest, I even have contemplated it, is death. And then that's not an answer either. So going towards the light is the only answer.
It is. Absolutely it is. And as we said, in thy light we shall see light. And so you have to make that effort to get out of that human state using your spiritual sense. Even though you don't believe it at the time, even though you're so down you can't see the light, you know it's there, and work to express some gratitude, and not just for 2 minutes, please. It's got to be for a while, for a long while sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it could be weeks, could be 2 months, could be 2 years.
Yeah, or more.
Could be every few moments all day long.
Right. And don't, you know, and so don't be discouraged or surprised if that's what it is. And Mrs. Eddy uses the word strive to describe what we have to do to get there.
Go ahead. No, what helped me is when I was reading an article, it's also about being in a certain darkness for so long, and we murmur and we continue to complain and all that. And there's a sentence that really woke me up. It said, when we ask how long, I'm paraphrasing, when we ask how long, the answer is as long as we deny God's allness. That's, I think, at some time we should ask ourselves, am I really obeying God's allness? Am I being obedient to that first commandment Mrs. Eddy so profoundly and so frequently talked about? The first commandment, am I obeying that? And if we can answer that honestly, well, we'll have our answer.
Thank you.
Exactly. And when we face obstacles, problems, what does Mrs. Eddy say about them? When they cease to bless,
they will cease to occur.
That's it.
So it's like squeezing an orange. You're getting all the juice out of it you can. Bless and know whatever comes to you comes only to bless you and do you good. If you take it in that spirit, if you grumble and complain like the children of Israel, you will wander around for 40 more years in the slough of despair.
And working for the truth is really the only way you can ever realize it. It doesn't just come on a silver platter. It's not a path of roses, to quote Mrs. Eddy. And when we have worked for whatever little bit of the truth we really do understand, when we've worked for it, we've earned it. When you've earned it, nobody can ever take it from you.
And it's just, that's just the most wonderful thing. As Dale was saying, it's worth all the journeying and whatever you have to take to learn this. It's a purification progress. And you're dropping off all the old dross, putting on the new man. And that takes a while. You've had perhaps years of thinking the wrong things and thinking it was natural to think these negative, fearful thoughts. You have to learn it is not.
And we've also found that this is something we have to let our children do. They have to earn it for themselves. We guide them as best we can. But we also have to let them earn it.
And they have to, have their own experiences, and there are sometimes their own defeats or whatever else, that you can't stand in the way and protect them, and you've got to let them learn.
For their sake.
For their sake. They're God's child, not yours.
Christ Jesus didn't spare us one responsibility, so.
No, exactly.
Thank you. Well,
yes,
go ahead.
No, I mean, I think what you spoke about, the selflessness of this whole journey, is also very pertinent here, because if I'm thinking of only the healing that I want, then, the whole thing seems so arduous, forever. Oh, it's not gone yet. But if I throw myself into this, yes, I want to know, and I want to work for the truth to be, to work for the world thought, say. Because he says our work is not done until every error is destroyed. So if we take that view instead and just study and pray and whatever, just for the world, say, the byproduct will be our own healing, I feel.
Absolutely true. And that's one of the most wondrous things about this church is this is something we experience and practice and do. People wonder how we get our healings here. Well, that's just how. we're not so focused on ourselves. We've got God's work to do, and we're going to get up and do it. And if Eric says we can't, we get up and do it anyway, because we have to. And we know that God is lifting us and healing us and in us and through us. And that's how things get done and are achieved, and it's wondrous. And if you don't have that, and all you think about is your own little life, again, that's hell. And everyone is needed here, all your talents, and we all come together in one harmonious round whole, and it's wonderful. And in doing this work, you learn if you have shortcomings or things you need to overcome. It comes to the light to be healed. And I wrote to that in that quote from Bicknell Young that I found, his article, Organization. We'll have to put that, print that. The mission of the church is to challenge and vanquish sin and hell. Without the church organization, there is nothing with which to challenge and overcome sin. When one turns aside from this organization, claiming for himself an advanced revelation, or that organization is no longer necessary, he is being blinded to his own disobedience and unwillingness to observe the discipline essential to his own spiritual growth within the organization. If you live totally to yourself, and what does Mrs. Eddy call it? Royal solitude, I think she says. Anyway, yes, and so no one bothers you. You're in your little castle and thinking you're perfect. Well, unless you get out and rub elbows with people, you need to see what refining needs to go on, and being in a church offers that. It offered it for me. That's why I know. Because I like to live just by myself without any contact with people, because then it was just easier. I didn't have to face much. But I was also very miserable because it was selfish.
Yeah, I think it's Bicknell Young. We have that article, The Real Work of Church Work, I think
yes.
It's called.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't really know yourself until you work in the church. So.
Yes.
And I know mm-hmm. that's true for me. So.
I know, and he was so shy, and he wouldn't talk to people. All he did was look at his computer, and now everybody loves Jeremy. He's Mr. Sociality. I just made that word up. But that's what happens, and I was the same way. I couldn't speak up either. I couldn't correct error, goodness, and so I held all these resentments in. Is any church perfect? No. Are we perfect church? No. But we're working at it, and we're all here learning and growing and working with Mrs. Eddy's definition of church. And we thank God we were thrown out of the organization. You know, people think we did that. We didn't do it. We probably would have stayed within and tried to work within in, because that's what we're taught. But we were kicked out. I mean, we refused
to disobey the manual, which they told us to do.
Yes, and to, you know, say we all had to, what, pledge our allegiance to the BOD in Boston. We refused to do that. So that made us excommunicated. So, but that doesn't mean that church is wrong or bad. It's just, it's a concept of it. And as I wrote in the article, we try to have it a spiritual organization where people are allowed to demonstrate on their own. And we, by board members, I guess, try not to interfere unless there's some unresolved clash or whether it has to do with how we're spending our money. But other than that, we let people demonstrate their positions, as you all do. And we do this each week, this teaching, this clarifying, this cleansing, to keep everybody on their toes and awake.
And wonderful things are happening as a result.
Yes.
We also have Mary Baker Eddy's full support on that, being the excommunicated and all. Page 238 of Miscellaneous Writings and an article called Reformers, she says, even the loving children are sometimes made to believe a lie and to hate reformers. It is pleasant now to contrast with that childhood's wrong, the reverence of my riper years for all who dare to be true, honest to their convictions, and strong of purpose. And I think it also goes back to addressing the comments, the false comments on the YouTubes and such.
Thank you. Thank you. And see, in doing all that, that's our committee on publication.
That's what the committee of publication was designed for.
So, and thank you for those of you who will help us with that. It's a very important job. And as I said, many of you are listening to things. As you listen, you know, just scroll down and check. And we can expect only good, positive comments. And Jeremy says, for the most part, that's what we have, and we're so very grateful for that.
Not just YouTube, though, you know, Facebook or anything else where you see things. So.
Right. True. Thank you. I wanted to get into what Linda from Ohio spoke about on the forum. It was interesting. She was quoting the Gospel of Mary, and we've talked a lot about the light, the lightness, the light of God. The Lord God shall be an everlasting light to all of us. But this takes up the idea of the darkness, and she was taught individually by Christ Jesus, and this gospel was not recorded or put out. It was recorded, evidently, but not put out by the...
Wasn't part of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting, this darkness is a state of being intellectually clouded, ignorant. And that's how you feel, clouded. You don't know what's going on. And it took seven forms, and the first form is the darkness, feeling clouded. The second is desire, probably wanting things you probably shouldn't have, desiring things you don't want. Ignorance is third, not knowing. And then fourth is what Dale mentioned, zeal for death. You know, when you get all clouded, confused, and dark, and want things you shouldn't have, pretty soon, you want out.
You think,
but always remember what you want out of is this material sense of existence, the Adam dream you want out of.
There's only one way out. Death is not it. The way out is to shine the light of truth on it.
He who hateth his life shall find it.
Yes.
It was true for me. So.
Yeah, when it gets bad enough and you say, save, Lord, or I perish, you will find a new life. You're newborn, a new existence. All this personal sense of things that are so dreary and limiting falls away. It also gives this quote, sin doesn't exist in and of itself, but you're the ones that make sin when you act in accordance with the nature of adultery, which is called sin. And then later she gives us the definition of adultery is apostasy, idolatry. I mean, we've talked about that commandment. There's a lot of different definitions of it. But just as in the story of, which we talked about a few weeks ago, Hosea, he married that prostitute. She kept being unfaithful. She was an adulteress, and how grievous it was to him. And so it's likened to how God feels when we keep worshiping other gods. But he doesn't do it to us, and that's what this is saying. We do it to ourselves. As Mrs. Eddy says, error comes to you for life, and you give it all the life it has by being an adulteress or adulterer. And that's why the good has come among you, approaching every nature in order to reunite it with its origin. Your origin to be connected with the Father. Matter gives birth to a passion that has no image because it comes from what's contrary to nature. The confusion arises in the whole body, and that's why I told you to be content at heart. Again, squelching that desire for forbidden things that you think will make you happier. whatever they are. Liquor, drugs, sex.
Cars, houses.
Et cetera. All of materiality. Vanity and vexation of spirit. Yes. So thank you, Linda. That was interesting. It goes on, but that's speaking of the darkness, which the light comes to destroy. And then Parthens, of course, quoting from the centurion, the healing of his servant, "For I am a man under authority." Then he says, "A policeman's authority to do his job is completely dependent upon his being under authority." So, Jeremy, what do you want to say about that? I know you found that very helpful.
Oh, yeah. I just love this, that what he says, "A correctly functioning traffic cop does not wake up every morning wondering whether or not he is qualified to do his job. He does not say, are all the different layers of government backing me up today the same as they were yesterday? Do I need to call the county courthouse to confirm the legality of my hand signals today?" It just really made me laugh, like how often doubt tries to creep in. And, you know, like Lawrence said, we don't instantly say, well, my daddy says, I have the authority, don't fear. So.
That was so wonderful, that simple statement from a child. "It's not what my daddy said." So we can say that about, you know, when error comes, well, daddy says this. Just as Jesus challenged when he was in the temptations, the three temptations, he went back. "It is written." He might as well have said, "My father says this. My father says this. So I challenge you. I turn the tables on you. Don't tell me I'm sick, unhappy, depressed, whatever.
Tired.
That's not what my daddy said." Dear little Ava. So, good lesson. Out of the mouth of babes. And I love this very much. This is in the article Age by Mrs. Eddy, which is on our website and audio, where she says to us, "You do now and ever must manifest the God life that is shining in you. It is working always in every part of your being to will and to do." Mm-hmm. I find in the morning when I'm getting ready, getting dressed, I dwell on those thoughts. I do now. I manifest that God life that is shining in me. Shining in me, through me, that God life. I'm not in matter. I'm not a human being with personal problems. My life is in God, and that light is shining in me and through me. And it is working always in every part of your being. So what being part are you having trouble with here? That you're not acknowledging this God shining in you and through you. Some organ you've got problems with, some person you've got problems with. You can make your own list, but what is your daddy saying? God is working always in every part of your being, every part of you, all things he's working to will and to do. So, honey, forget about yourself and what you want to will and do today. You give all your parts, everything to the Father for his will and for him to do. You think about that when you're getting dressed in the morning. Think about what that's saying. And this kind of work, it's curative as well as preventative. Because this is the truth of your being. And it's powerful. And it is the light that is shining.
Very powerful, yes.
There's so much good in just one statement of truth. You just take that one statement and go with it. And it can do amazing things for you. It is the truth. So don't think that there's some little corner of your life that God isn't part of or shining through you. What are we told? All is infinite mind, and it's infinite manifestation.
For God is all in all.
You are having trouble with your eyesight, some physical thing that's bothering you, something. God is there shining in you and through you to do his will. Then that's the question. Are you doing that, or are you just having your own selfish day and being hateful, mean, and unloving? Well, then he is shining, but he's having trouble getting through that. This is that he calls it the adamant of error. Self-will, self-love, self-justification. How can the light shine in and through that? It can't.
I remember hearing this.
Go ahead.
I remember hearing a story about Mrs. Evans when she was a teenager, and she had, I think, the flu, and she had this wonderful practitioner working for her, and no progress was being made. And one day the practitioner asked her, she said, well, are you just working for yourself to be healed, or are you understanding that this is not real for anyone in this whole world, and this is not true? And she was healed immediately.
Yes. Yeah, that's a statement we've all taken to heart here. Anytime you're working, you don't just work for yourself. The treatment, you know, what is it? Mrs. Betty's treatment that's been on the carousel, it goes into that. She says every good thought you think, it goes to bless the whole world. And so we have a duty to keep our thought right. And at the same time, when you're thinking all this negative, depressing thoughts, that's not helping purify the world, is it? You're polluting the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about you, honey cakes.
Stop thinking if that's what you're doing. That's all.
Yes. And thank God realize his presence and power with us always, and his light shining, an everlasting light. Now, there's one other thing, a couple things before we close. One is, we're all celebrating, observing, I should say, the 4th of July this week, and we know to be very, very grateful for our nation, the United States of America. Many of us here are Americans, not all of us, however. So we're grateful for our freedom. We want to defend, protect, and know it is God-given. And it is for all mankind, all nations, everywhere, the light shining upon everyone. And Bruce found this watching point, 439, which is also very important. Watch that you do not neglect to make the demonstration of taking yourself and others out of the belief of nationality in order to see all in the great household and family of God. In no other way can you escape the impersonal hatred that exists between nations, which when stirred up comes to the surface to be self-destroyed in the form of war. If one believes that he is an American, he cannot escape the human fact that he is hated by certain other nationalities. The only escape from this belief and hatred lies in seeing man as God's perfect child, free from any belief in nationality. That is the true and ultimate science, isn't it? And that's, again, something we've learned here. You know, we're in America, we're all mutts, right? We all have different backgrounds. But not to take pride or say, well, my father was from so-and-so. No, we're all from the one father, mother. And that makes us all brothers and sisters. And there's no enmity between any of us. It's important to know this. Always, God's love is shining everywhere, not just on one country or certain places. Everywhere it shines with unfailing beauty, power, strength, healing, rejuvenating, blessing, all that it touches. This is what our watches are about.
I think we have an article that might be on the website. titled The United States of America.
We do, yeah, by Bicknell Young.
By Bicknell Young, in which he makes the point that the United States of America is not a location. Yeah. It's not a group of people. It is a state of thought.
Thank you.
And
that's,
it is,
I think that's the true
thought.
Citizenship.
Thank you. Exactly. And it is that state of thought that we celebrate. We're grateful that we have a place to celebrate it. But it is that state of thought that is worth celebrating.
Yes, and it is available to everyone, all nations, everywhere, and this is what we pray for and know. Truth prevails now. So we will end the session today on Christian Science with Mrs. Eddy's beautiful definition of church in the glossary, which we keep in our hearts and minds, because this is what church is always.
Church, the structure of truth and love, whatever rests upon and proceeds from divine principle. The church is that institution which affords proof of its utility and is found elevating the race, rousing the dormant understanding from material beliefs to the apprehension of spiritual ideas and the demonstration of divine science, thereby casting out devils or error and healing the sick.
Mary Baker Eddy, thank you all so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.